Garvai watched his father's expression as well, marveling at how Anvil Rock's attitudes had altered since he'd unwillingly assumed the role of the absent Prince Divan's regent. The Earl was no happier than he had been at the notion that his princedom had been conquered by a foreign power, and as the man who'd commanded Prince Hector's army, he continued to take that conquest as a personal failure. At the same time, however, it was obvious he'd come to genuinely accept that the Carizian occupiers were doing their best to be no more repressive than they had to. And Garvai knew, little though his father cared to admit it, Anvil Rock had grudgingly, against his will, fighting every inch of the way, come to accept that Caleb of Carus and Charlion of Chisholm were better rulers than Hector had been as well. Oh, how he fought that one, Garvai thought ruefully. It really stuck in his craw. And I suppose I understand that, too. They were cousins, and here at home, at least, Hector always tried to ride with a light rein. But you were too close to him, Father, weren't you? You knew what he was like when it came to the great game, just like you knew, as well as I did, who really started the conflict between Coruscant and Carus. And it wasn't Harald, was it? Even now, Sir Corin Garvai wasn't even tempted to think of his father as a Carizian partisan. In fact, the mind boggled at the concept. But especially since Archbishop Michael's visit, Anvil Rock had at least accepted that Carus was trying to make a bad situation better. And, Garvai suspected, while the Earl might not yet have worked his way around to considering himself a Carizian subject, he had found himself much more firmly in agreement with the Church of Carus's doctrine, and the growing support that doctrine was finding among Coruscant's own reformists than he'd ever anticipated. "Which is the real reason you want those bastards, Father?" Garvai thought affectionately. "Because you don't trust them as far as you could spit up wind. Because you know damned well people like Craggy Hill and Barkor and Zebediah aren't trying to make a bad situation better, unless they can do better for themselves in the process."
"Your note said you were informing the Viceroy General," his father said, and he nodded.
"Yes, Father," he shrugged slightly. "First, because it was my responsibility to inform him, and second, because I figured it was entirely possible he was going to get a note of his own." Garvai smiled crookedly. Under the circumstances, it seemed the most prudent thing to do, although I did tell him I'd be meeting with you and Earl Tatarian, and that you two would advise him of the Regency Council's decision in this matter.
"Tactful sort, aren't you?" his father observed, then looked at Tartarian. "Well, Taral, I don't see that we have a lot of deciding to do here, despite Corin's efforts to spare our feelings. And I'm not sure I see any reason to go convening the entire council, either. This clearly comes under the executive authority of the Crown, which is presently vested in me as regent. Besides, we have, as Corin just pointed out, an obligation to inform Chairman and cooperate with him fully in this matter." He grimaced. "Comes with all those oaths the bunch of us in Parliament swore to Caleb and Charlion. Would you agree?"
"With the observation that nobody in Zion or the Temple is ever going to accept those oaths as binding, yes," Tartarian said mildly.
"Ha!" Anvil Rock snorted contemptuously and shook his head. "Of course they aren't. But the truth is, Taral, I've discovered I really don't give a fart for the damned group of four anymore. This whole mess is that lizard-loving bastard Clinton's fault in the first damn place. And Grand Inquisitor or no, if he really gives a damn what God wants, I'm a frigging Harchong Grand Duke."
Garvai's eyes widened. Despite his own earlier thoughts about Anvil Rock's attitude towards the Church of Carus, that was, by any measure, the strongest statement his father had ever made about the Temple's current leadership. Yet even though he'd never expected to hear it, What surprised him the most was that he felt so little surprise when the words were actually said. He looked at Tartarian and felt another little spasm of surprise, because Tartarian was actually smiling at Anvil Rock.
"Took you a little while to figure that out, did it, Riso?"
"His mother," Anvil Rock twitched a thumb in his son's direction, "always did say I could be a little slow. But I'll tell you this, Terrell, it'll be a cold day in hell when you see someone like Grand Vicar Eric, or that murderous asshole Clinton, trekking all the way out to some place like Coruscant. You think they give a spider-rat's arse what happens to us out here?"
"Of course not," Tartarian said quietly. "I never did. On the other hand, I never thought there was any way to change that either."
"Well, neither did I, really," Anvil Rock admitted. "And I didn't think there was when Caleb sailed over here from Old Corus and kicked our arses up between our ears, either. Religious reform? Dragon shit. Old-fashioned imperial politics with a new justification. That's what it was, and I knew it. I'm still not entirely ready to give up on that interpretation, either, but..."
"But then there's Archbishop Michael, isn't there?"
Tartarian finished for him in a soft voice, and Anvil Rock nodded.
"There's Archbishop Michael, and there's priests like Father Timon, and there's the cold-blooded bastards who murder priests like Father Timon. Bastards like Jaspar Clinton, who murder children and call it God's will."
Muscles bunched in Anvil Rock's jaw for a moment, and then he closed his eyes, inhaled deeply, and gave himself a shake. When he opened his eyes again, the jaw muscles had relaxed once more, and he smiled crookedly.
"I don't think Caleb Armok is the Archangel Langhorne come back in glory, but I do think he's a basically good young man doing the best he can in one hell of a messy situation. A young man who refused to just roll over and die when the group of four decided to destroy his kingdom. I also think Clinton and the Inquisition have shown their true colors now. And I'll tell you this right now, Terrell. I'll side with anyone this side of Shan Wei herself who's willing to stand up to someone like that."